Appreciate Brother Gordon stepping in last Sunday as we had to make a flying trip away and to Missouri, Sherry's brother funeral. But we sure appreciate him stepping in and just being willing to step in, and appreciate them so much. I was determined, unless something, like everybody got COVID, we was going to have church this week. And I was bound and determined to have it, because I don't know about you, but I miss getting together. I miss seeing everyone, and still miss those that aren't with us this morning. I'm going to be walking through the book of John 11, so if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn there. I'm not going to be reading a text per se this morning, because I'm just going to walk through a very familiar passage of Scripture. And I believe God is going to speak to us this morning from this. And the title, I have a title called The Awakening. And I believe God is wanting the church to awaken. One thing we learned from 2020 is that no matter where we are, whether we're home or whether we're together, the church is still the church. I believe God was, and really personally, I think God was wanting to send a message to many believers, because worship got away from the home. People aren't worshiping in the home like they used to. People aren't giving God time in the home. It seems like the only time we give God any time is when we come to church. And even when those that are at home and aren't able to go and they can watch, they'll watch for a few minutes, but then that's it. And God was trying to shake the church. I believe 2020 was a time of shaking not just our nation, but I believe it was a shaking the church to awaken to the fact of what is coming, to be wise and to be prayerful, considering the times in which we live in. And if anything, and you'll see as we get in through this, you'll kind of see where I'm going with this, but let's pray, then we'll get into the message. Father, I just thank you once again for, Lord, the opportunity to come and to gather together with brothers and sisters. Lord, I just thank you for those that are here, those that are watching. Lord, I just thank you that we have this time together to worship you and to be in your presence. And I pray, Lord, that as I begin to share the message you've laid on my heart for today, Lord, that you would anoint me, anoint my lips and my thoughts and everything about me, God, that I may deliver what you have, what thus saith the Lord today to your people. And I pray, Lord, challenge us, I pray, and give you the glory, Lord, and for everything that is done. In Jesus' name, Lord, we pray. Amen. And amen. You know, people looking, as we kind of get into John, and the raising, of course, you know the story, John 11, the raising of Lazarus. A lot of people look at this, the raising of Lazarus, as a climatic sign of Jesus' ministry. Matter of fact, it was this event that when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, many believe that it was this event that led to many seeking, or the opposition, the enemy, to seek his death because of what he did. I mean, when you think about raising somebody from the dead, I mean, that's pretty climatic, I believe. And it's something that, I mean, how many times, I mean, I've not heard anybody recently being raised from the dead. Have you? It would be nice. Happen. But we don't hear that as much anymore. But John reminds us, and I love the book of John is one of my favorites. I love John's writing. Of course, when you study John and the whole thing about John, and you know, he kind of, when you look at the book of John, many believe, and this is some studies I've done in some of my education, many believe that John, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and said, you know what, we're going to fill in some blanks here. And so that's why John wrote his gospel. But regardless of the fact, though, we see some things that John brings in. And one of the things that John reminds us, and even I wrote this in our bulletin this week, you know, John reminds us about life, the importance of life. It says, in him was life. And, and John reminds us that Christ brings life. That we have life and have life more abundantly because of Christ. Can you say amen? That he is the giver of life. He is the sustainer of life. He is the one that brings life and speaks life over situations. And the hope of life after death is one we all enjoy and think about, that we know to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And, you know, we understand that. And for a child of God to understand that, you know, yes, when I take my last breath on this earth, I take my first breath in glory. And that's exciting when you think about it. For a child of God, we ain't afraid of death. I mean, I'm not wanting to go tomorrow. But when my time comes, Brother Joey, I'm okay. Sure, it may not be, but no more aches, no more pains. I mean, come on. No more bills, no more taxes. Hello. You know, I mean, this is the way it is. I know, as we sang earlier, I know whom I believed. I know who I believe in. I know who my Lord is. I know what's life, what is after death. But through this conversation and through this story of John 11, we see a series of conversations. And that's what I want to key on this morning, is not just the fact of Jesus going, and we preach that a lot, Jesus going to the tomb and shouting, Lazarus, come forth. But look at the events that lead up. And I think a lot of times when we read the stories in the Bible, we'll go to the what we know and forget sometimes what's before or even what's after that climatic event. Because Jesus... One thing we can learn about Jesus is in his ministry is everything that he did with a purpose and a reasoning, and it was a teachable moment. And church, we need some teachable moments. We need to kind of sit back and say, okay, because 2020, we could look back and say, oh, it was a terrible year. We just want to write that off. But to me, I'm looking back and say, okay, Lord, what are you wanting to teach me? And even in 2021, I mean, to me, you know, and I shared this earlier that we think, you know, just because we flip a calendar doesn't mean we're going to flip the problems. And we've seen that. And I believe everything we go through, for all things work together, for the good, the then that are called, then, you know, all things, we know God is working all things in our behalf, and God is working all things, but God is teaching us. And he's wanting us to learn. And as a church, in this era, and in these days in which we live in, God is wanting us to sit up and watch and learn and embrace this teachable moment. Let's get into this. I want to be reading, and if you look at the scriptures we're getting ready to read, you will see the fact that I'm from a different version, and so I do like to explore. I'm not a believer of all versions. Just because it's a version of the Bible doesn't mean it's a good, accurate version. But there are a few that I do enjoy and I do like. Of course, I do some research on where they come from. And today I'm going to be reading from the ME, Modern English Version, just because it gives some different insight on this. Let's look at this. It says, verse 1, now a man was sick, Lazarus from Bethany, a village of Mary and her sister Martha. Okay, we have the scene set. This was Mary, who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Okay, we know what's going on. So the sister sent word to him, saying, Lord, he whom you love is sick. And when Jesus heard this, he said, the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified by it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he remained where he was 2 more days. Now think about this. Just stay right there for a second. Okay, we know who we're talking about. We know that Jesus loved them. We know that he cared for them. We know who they were and what they did and some parts that they played, not recorded in this section, but in other parts of Scripture. But notice this, that he said, he knew the sickness was not unto death. But you will say, hey, wait a minute. Lazarus died. You see, when we think it's final, God may not see it as final. When we see a situation that is dead, God may not see it as dead. Oh. When we see something as hopeless, God don't see it as hopeless. Remember, for with God, all things are. In this first conversation taking place, there was this persistent plea by Mary and Martha. Come, Lord, he whom you love is sick. Come. Jesus heard the news. He knew the situation. And John says he loved them, but he waited. Now, don't you love it when we get impatient with God? God is patient with us. Let me reword that a little bit. When we want God to do something now, he just says, wait. And we're going, no! None of you do that, right? We live in such an ATM society. Really, we're beyond ATM society because we don't have to go to the ATM anymore. We can just click our phones. But we live in such a fast-paced society. We want it, and we want it now. We live in an Amazon society. You know, get it shipped within 1 or 2 days. And we treat God the same way. When I pray, I expect it now or 1 or 2 days. Come on now. We all think, I'm guilty. I come and smite these crazy left-wingers and, you know, take our country back. But God says, not now. God, you know. And we see this in Scripture, other places. You know, remember when they were in the boat and the storm arises and the disciple says, Lord, don't you care that we pay? And God says, chill. Church, if there's anything we can take away, and that teachable moment right here and now is to remind us that God, that the God that we serve, the God of all heaven and earth, is not bound by time nor space. And even though we think there's a time schedule, to God, there is no time schedule. When we think it's dead, when we think it's hopeless, God says no. And you see the story, we understand the purpose so that God would be glorified. Listen, if anything that we do and anything we pray for, if God isn't getting the glory for it, shame on us. Because everything that we do is not to boast us up or to boast our church up, but to lift up the name of Jesus. Because he reminded me, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And so we got to make sure everything that we pray, everything that we hope for, is lifting up the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus the Christ. Jesus always operates on his own time schedule. He always operates on his, not ours. One thing we've got to understand. That's why we pray, Lord, not my will be done, but yours. And what we're saying is, not my time schedule, even though I want it now, but yours. God's time is the best time. Let's go back in Scripture for just a second. Somebody needs to hear this. You remember the story of the Egyptians and Moses? Moses, and they came, you know, God could, as soon as they came to the Red Sea, God could have just opened it up and then not even realize that the Egyptians were following. But God wanted them to see the Egyptians following after them, that Pharaoh was coming to take them back, that Pharaoh changed his mind. Because it made that event more about God than about the Red Sea. And sometimes God wants us to realize that there's things that are happening in our life we're not giving God the glory for or the praise for. Wow, what a great thing that's happening here. But forget, it's God that allowed it to happen. We could talk about ourselves. Oh, yeah, look, I prayed and this happened. No, 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 no. You prayed, God made it happen. We need to get this me mentality out of us. Let's go on. Verse 7. Then after this, he said to his disciples, "Let us go into Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just trying to stone you. Are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in a day? If anyone walks during the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if anybody walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him." After he said this, he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep." Notice that. "But I'm going that I may awaken him from sleep." Notice that scripture. "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going that I may awaken him from sleep." I believe God is speaking this to the church of today. Many of them have fallen asleep, but I'm coming to wake them up. Let's go on. Then the disciples said, "Lord, if he's sleeping, then he will be well." Jesus spoken of his death, but they thought that he was just speaking of getting rest through sleep. So when Jesus plainly told them, "Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, so that you may believe, nevertheless, let us go to him." Then Thomas, who is called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." Now some will say, "What is he talking about?" Well, that's another story. But I want us to look at this fact that the euphemism that is used of sleep and death. How many of you have ever used this term? You know, "How'd you sleep last night?" "Oh man, I died. I'm dead tired." Have you ever noticed how we associate death and sleep together? We lay somebody in a coffin. It looks like they're sleeping. I know many of us don't sleep laying on our back. But think about this. The misunderstanding of sleep versus death is cleared up. Yet sleep and death have significant correlations with each other. Now let's look at this for a second. Sleep is much appreciated. A lot of us love sleep, right? We love the sleep. But according to some experts, look at how much sleep we need. A 6 to 12 year old, according to experts, said needs 9 to 12 hours sleep in a 24 hour period. That's why they take naps. 13 to 18 year olds need about 8 to 10 hours of sleep. And 18 to 60 need over 7 hours of sleep per 24 hours. Now, I think that's kind of wrong. I think it's kind of backwards myself, but I think, you know, we older ones, we need more sleep than the younger ones. I don't know, but they've got more energy, seems like, no matter what. But a lack of sleep, according to health experts tell us, can produce various health issues. However, too much sleep is not good either. Experts tell us that too much sleep on a regular basis can increase the risk of diabetes, heart disease, stroke, and even death. Too much is defined as greater than 9 hours for most teens and adults. Believe it or not, you can actually sleep yourself to death. Too much sleep can lead also to heart disease, metabolic problems, cognitive issues. When you sleep too much, you can have memory issues, cognitive issues. So, you know, too much is not good for you and too little is not good for you. That's why it's always important to get a good night's sleep, right? But look at this. Many love to sleep. And sleep, and sleep, and sleep. Many like to stay in bed and cover up their head, not because Santa Claus has come tonight, but they just love to sleep because they feel like sleeping will save problems away. If I don't get out of bed, hear me, if I don't get out of bed, then the problems won't be there. If I don't get out of my bed, then everything is just fine right here in my bed, not realizing the problems are still there, whether you're in bed or not. We've got to learn how to get up and face the issues and face the problems and face our challenges. It requires for somebody to step up and accept the challenges of life and realize that, yes, I've got some problems when I get out of bed. But I'm going to get out of bed and I'm going to face them because my God has assured me I won't face them alone. That he will see me, he will never forsake me, that he will be with me to the end. Can you say thank you, Lord? But for some, sleeping their life away is easier than fighting. Now you see the correlation? Many in the church are just sleeping the life away. I'm just going to come in. I'm going to do my little church thing for the day. And I'm going to come. I'm going to amen a time or two. And then I'm going to go home and, you know, just jump in bed. And it's all good. Church, we've got to realize God is wanting to shake the church and awaken the church. Satan recognizes this and is trying very hard to lull the church to sleep. He's trying to lull you to sleep and have you to give up on facing your issues and stay in bed and cover up your head and just give up on life, to sleep your life away, thus killing you and silently until your body refuses to work. You realize that if you sleep all the time and you stay in bed all the time, your body will shut down. Your won't work. And if he's got the church asleep and got the church all tucked in nice in their beds, then they won't work. They won't function. They won't be effective. They won't do nothing but just die silently. Many people, Lord help us, there's a lot of Christians that have already spiritually died. They just don't know it yet. I'm still in bed. I'm okay. Remember, too much sleep is not good. It's amazing to me that in the too much and too little sleep, a lot of the same health issues arise, except too much sleep comes with cognitive issues and memory issues. You forget who you are. You forget what you're supposed to remember, and you can't function like you normally should. Think about that. One, verse 17, when Jesus arrived, he found that he had been in the tomb 4 days already. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, less than 2 miles away. Many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. But Mary remained in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had only been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." I want you to kind of grasp that for a second. He will rise again on the last day. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" And she said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world." Now, this conversation with Martha in the midst of this situation poses some interesting challenges. Martha goes to meet Jesus and begins the conversation with both words of faith and criticism. Lord, if you'd only been here, he wouldn't have died, but Lord, I believe. So we see criticism, but also we see words of faith. Martha believes in the resurrection that one day Lazarus will rise again. However, the claim that Jesus was making puts death and resurrection in a whole new perspective when he said, I am the resurrection and the life. Now notice this. Jesus is putting the future hope of a future resurrection into the present moment. You see that? He's putting a future hope. I know he will rise again on the last day. How many times we have faith for that time? I know one day God will deliver me. I know one day God will answer my prayer. I know that in the future God will relieve me of this issues. I know one day God will answer my prayer. We put our future hope and the future resurrection and the future of God's promises in just that, the future. But Jesus has said, look, I'm not just a God of the future, I'm a God of the present. I'm not just here to give you hope for the future. I've come to give you life for today. The God that we serve is here to bring life to us today, to bring resurrection power to the church today. So often we always put off the miracles and answered prayers later, thinking God will eventually get around to it. But many times God wishes to live in us in the present moment to manifest the supernatural now. It's amazing to me how much faith we can have for tomorrow, but how little faith we can have for today. But the same, when he said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever, that he changes not, do we not understand and get a hold of that moment and get a hold of that word that the God that says, I will bring resurrection on that day, but is also the God that will bring resurrection today? We talked about that a little bit. You know, if he did all these things in the past, if we've seen the outpouring of the Spirit, Brother Joey, in the past, don't we think the Spirit can pour out today just like he did back in Pentecost, just like he did in Azusa Street, just like he did in so many other places? Do we not realize that the very God we serve in the midst of, no matter what we're going through, in the midst of 2021, can show up and show out for his church and reveal his glory and his power and his might. Let's go on. When Jesus, or verse 28, when she had said this, she went her way and secretly called her sister Mary, saying, the teacher, I love this, the teacher has come and is calling you. Now, did anybody read about where Martha, or we read Jesus said, where's Mary? He was talking to Martha because Martha was giving him a little tongue lashing. Where were you? I mean, come on, we knew. I mean, anybody got a sister, wife, mother? We know they can be sharp sometimes. Where were you? My mama would get mad at me. Where were you? If you'd only been here. So we knew Martha was giving a little, like I said, she gave criticism and, but nowhere did we read in that last passage where Jesus called for Mary. Now, John may not have recorded it, we don't know, but nevertheless, Martha goes to Mary and says, Jesus is calling you. When she heard this, she rose quickly and went to him. Now, Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was in the place where Martha met him. When the Jews who were with Mary in the house comforting her saw that she quickly rose up and went out, they followed her, saying, she is going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying, Lord, if you had only been here, my brother would not have died. Now, I want us to look at that for a second. Let me just park here for just a moment. When Mary came to where Jesus was, church, we need to go where God is. We need to quit praying, God bless what we're doing. No. We need to say, Lord, let me do what you're blessing. Are you hearing me? Lord, bless what we're doing. Listen, what we're doing may not be right. It may not be what God wants. Are you hearing me? We've done the same thing all over and over and over, but we don't understand why God ain't blessing it. Hello? That's why prayer is so important. Lord, quit praying, God bless what we're doing. And start praying, God, let me do what you're blessing. Because when you start praying, oh, I know some of us don't want to pray that because that means we got to come out of our comfort zone. Hello? We gotta stretch ourselves. Broaden our territory. Do some things that we're not used to doing. Come on. But if we want God to bless, then we need to start doing what he's already blessing. When she saw him, she fell down at his feet. Oh, we got to fall down at his feet and say, God. Yeah, I know what she said, saying, Lord, if you'd only been here. My brother would. Now, think about this. This is a kind of a double-edged statement here. Lord, if you had been here. Yeah, I know it's a little critical. But also look at the faith. She knew that if Jesus had showed up, again, she had the faith for the future and not faith for the present. Would have been, brother, knew that if Christ would have showed up earlier before Lazarus died, then Lazarus would be walking around alive and well right then. But not knowing the full plan of God. Think about this. Sometimes we don't know the full plan of God. That's why it's important that we walk by faith and not by sight. I walk by what God has put into my spirit. I walk by what his word tells me, not by everything else that's going around. It's kind of like quit looking at the storm and keep your eyes on Christ and you won't sink. Hello? When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. He said, where have you laid him? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. Now this conversation is kind of a little bit more complex, or not as complex, I guess you could say, than Martha's, but it has a complexity to it because of some things that we're seeing here. But also one of the things I think that's very interesting is we're beginning to see something. I know we get to, you know, verse 35 where it says Jesus wept, and we can get into all that and talk about all this, but look at this. We're starting to see some emotion of Christ here. We're starting to see something from Jesus that we hadn't seen earlier, and that's emotion. He groaned in his spirit. Oh, that was a frustration. No, because what I read later, I see that there was some emotion when he wept. That he was being touched because the Bible already told us that he loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. He loved this family. He loved being with him. He went there often and they were supportive of him and he was very close to them. And to see these people whom he loved and to see them agonize over the death of their brother. Don't you think? What does that tell me? It tells me God, it hurts when we hurt. God sees us going, don't think God is just saying, oh, toughen up. You'll be fine. No, God is touched by our emotions. God is touched by what we go through. And that's the greatness of our God. But he not only is he touched with that emotion and what we're going through, he also still has the stamina and the faith to realize that he sees the other side of the storm. He knows. Yeah, I understand. This is a painful moment for you. But child, just keep on keeping on because you will get through this storm and you will come on the other side and you will see my great hand at work. One thing too it reminds me is that Jesus cares about us. Jesus cares about you. Neighbor and say, Jesus cares about you. He cares. Thank God he cares. Thank God that he's touched with, thank God he can be touched with us. Let's move on. I got to hurry. Jesus wept, verse 35. We all can quote that, right? John 11, 35, Jesus wept. There you go. Then Jesus said, or then the Jews said, excuse me, then the Jews said, see how he loved him. Yeah, we know he loved Lazarus. But some of them said, could not this man who had opened the eyes of the blind have also kept this man from dying? Oh, I love critics. Jesus said, or then Jesus again groaning within himself came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone was lying against it. And Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. And Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believe that you would see the glory of God? I believe God is telling us, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? Did I not tell you that if I called you to it, then I will take you through it? That he calls who he equips those he calls. And when he calls us with a purpose. And as long as we're faithful, God will see us through. Can you say amen? Verse 41, I got to hurry. So they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me. But because of the people standing around, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Notice that prayer. Did he pray for Lazarus to be resurrected? Did he pray, God, would you help me? You know, Lord, touch Lazarus, make him come alive. No, he didn't pray. He didn't pray none of that. He just said, Lord, I just thank you that you hear me. He's reminding us that God hears us. God hears us, church. God hears us when we pray. God hears us when we cry out to him. God hears us when we say, Lord, I need your help. He said, I know, I thank you that you heard me and that you always hear me. He always hears you, saints. He always hears your prayers. He always hears your cries. He always hears your tears when they fall. He always sees these things. Thank God we serve a God that understands what we're going through, that he sees us, what we're walking through. He knows what we're experiencing. When he had said this, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, I know the King James, come forth. Here it says, Lazarus, come out. Same thing. Come out, Lazarus. Come on, Lazarus. And I know we can spend a lot of time here in this, but here's the thing I want you to understand. He was dead, came out. His hands and feet were wrapped with grave clothes. His face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to him, unbind him and let him go. Now, let's kind of wrap this up, kind of put this all in a nice little package here for us to take home. One, Jesus said he's not dead, he's asleep. This sickness is not unto death. Well, he died. We've seen he was wrapped up, he was bound up, he was in a tomb. It had a cover on it. They already had the funeral. It was dead and gone. It was over. But let's remember, when we think it's over, God may say something different. When we think, oh, leave him be. He's been in there 4 days. Lord, just leave it alone. It's been done. It stinks. It's dead. God may. Now think about this for a second. How many times, yeah, I know what, you know, the sister said, "Lord, no, he's been dead 4 days, he stinks, though. No. And plus, for a Jew, here's the other thing, for a Jew to touch a dead person, you were unclean. And you had certain things, ceremonies, and things you had to do, and you couldn't be out in normal society because if you were around and that, that deadness got on you, oh my gosh. But here's something else I want us to think about. How many times is God wanting to awaken us and to open something up in our life that we think is dead, and we've stopped God and say, "God, no, you can't open this. This is dead. It's over. I've dealt with it. I've moved on." Hello? God's wanting to open some things up. No, Lord. No, it's dead. It stinks. It's over. Let's leave it be. Do we realize they could have stopped Jesus from doing this because of the Jewish rituals and the Jewish understanding of death? They could have said, "No, Lord, we'll just go on." By those guys unrolling the stone and allowing that, just that part alone was beginning to violate some Jewish orders and stuff, and goes against conventional wisdom, go against what the norm. I think God's trying to tell the church, listen, just don't be so complicit with the things of this world. God is wanting to awaken a church. God is calling a church to come forth. God is speaking. Notice he called him by name. And I know a lot of us preachers have preached that, that he would have just said, "Come forth," and all the dead would have came forth. But he called him by name specifically because he was the one. And I believe that's true because Jesus, when he said, "I am the resurrection of life," it means that he has the power over that, that he had the power to raise all the dead around there. But the fact of the matter, he called him by name. He called him because he knew who he was. Listen, God knows who we are. He knows what we're going through. He knows what we're facing. He knows the heartache. He knows the sorrows. He knows everything that we're facing. He knows our cries at midnight when nobody knows what's going on. But still yet, he's coming today to speak to the church and to speak to the believers. It's time to awaken. It's time to wake up. It's time to come forth. It's come to step out of death into life. It's come to experience what I've called you to experience. It's time. It's time. It's time for the church to arise and be the church that God's called us to be. He can raise a dead body to life. What can he do with some live ones? If he can raise somebody that and dead 4 days, and you could study the science and how the body breaks down, if he could, what can he do with some live men and women of God that say they love God? Oh, we've done this year. I don't care how long you've been saved. I don't care how long you've been serving God. I don't care what's worked or hasn't worked in the past. If God says to do it, honey, let's do it. If God said he's in it, then I want to be in it. If God says it, I believe it. It's time we awaken to who we are in Christ and realizing that we are the body of the believers. We are the body of Christ. We are the children of the Most High God. We are his kids and his heirs. Oh, one thing we've learned, we play nice. I don't know about you. I think you all did too. But back in March last year, we all played nice, and we listened because we thought, okay, this would help. 10 days to slow the spread. Anybody remember that statement? Okay, let's shut it down for a couple weeks, and let's see what happens. 10 days turned into a month. A month turned into 2 months. And then 11 months later, we're still dealing with it. But we're still doing the same things we've done before. I'm no rocket scientist, but I think if you keep doing what you've always done and don't change the results, then we need to change what we're doing. Hello? I'll get off my soapbox. But the fact of the matter is, we, the body of Christ, God is calling us to come forth. He's calling us to rise up and take our rightful place. He is coming back soon. He is coming to take a church and take a people that are looking and waiting for Him, that are looking for those eastern skies to be split. He's coming back for a people that says, perhaps today. He's come, but if we're asleep, I think one of the saddest things in the world is to think about this, that Jesus will come back and take His people, but some Christians will not know what has happened. Because they were asleep. Honey, you can't sleep your problems away. You can't sleep life away. You can't just come in and go out and think, oh, I did my good thing. No, 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 no. You know, there was a commercial years ago. I forgot now what it was advertising. That's irrelevant. But it said this. It said that a body at rest stays at rest, but a body in motion stays in motion. I don't know why that has stuck into my mind. I always think about that. But think about that. I mean, how many of us, when we sit down, and we sat down for a long time, get up and kind of, oh, seem like I'm having those more and more. Like, oh my goodness, you know, just kind of got to kind of stretch out before you start moving. Some of you younger ones don't understand that, but. But once you get moving, you're fine. Why? Because you start moving and things start to move and to kind of go back to my oil days and the oil business. You know, it's called lubrication. The joints get lubricated and work and function a little bit better. Kind of like a church. We just stay at rest. We'll always be at rest. But a church in motion will stay in motion. It's time for us, and I believe this is the year. We shut down for a year. Now it's time for the church to get up and get back in motion. And God is calling it's time to wake up. Stand with me this morning. I want to share some things. You see, Satan's looking at any means possible to destroy the church, to destroy you, to get you to stay at rest. He wants to lull the church asleep and believe that that's all you'll ever do. But I'm reminded about what 1 Peter tells me. It says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. We are a holy nation. We are God's special people. We are anointed of Him. Amen. Anybody saved in the house? Anybody believe God today and trust God today? Listen, we are that generation. And I believe that this generation, I believe it as sure as I'm standing here. Church, I believe that we are the ones that will see the return of Jesus Christ. I do believe it. I believe it as sure as I'm standing here that we're that close to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe it. And if I believe it, then it's time that we get moving and doing something about it. Because there's men and women, there's brothers and sisters, there's family members, there's children, there's neighbors, there's co-workers out there that aren't ready. But if we aren't awakened, how can we awaken them? Are you hearing me? Oh, Father, I just pray right now that, Lord, you would speak into every spirit, every heart here today. God, I pray that as I have conveyed what you've shared, I pray, God, that it soaks into the very fiber and the very being of every person here today, everyone listening today, to understand it's time to be awakened, that you're calling your church, you're calling your people to arise and to awaken. That it's time for the church to arise. And it's time, oh God, that we step into the destiny and the purpose you have called us to. Lord, I pray, let us now get in motion and start being awakened to what you have us, what you're calling us to. For Lord, I pray, let your will be done right now. Sweet Spirit of God, have your way this morning. Hallelujah. With every saint, everyone praying, everyone just focusing upon the Lord. I just want to just ask right now, before we go any further, and as the music plays, I just want you to think about this. And ask yourself this important question. If there's anyone here this morning that doesn't know Jesus Christ, I want to invite you. If anyone here says, Pastor, I don't know him as my Lord and Savior, every head bowed, every eye closed, every saint praying, I just want to give anyone a chance to say, Pastor, I don't know him. Just raise your hand if you don't know him, if you don't have the relationship with him. All you got to do is say, Jesus, save me. Jesus, I believe in you and ask you to be Lord of my life. Anyone listening, just ask him to be Lord of your life. He's coming soon. But church, I also want to ask you today, those here this morning say, Pastor, yes, I hear God speaking to me, it's time to step up. It's time to rise up and take my place and begin to fulfill my call and what God has called me to do. I want you just to raise your hand and say, Pastor, pray that I accept the call. I accept with God that I fulfill my purpose in him. Yes. Lord, just touch him right now. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, you touch them. That you call them, that they accept what you are calling them to and hear with clarity, God, what you're asking them to do. Oh, Father, I just pray, awaken your church, awaken your people for this time and this hour, for this day. Oh, Father, just let your will be done. And before we close out today, if anyone needs special prayer this morning, I want you to come.